Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome back to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein, and we're recording live from the Intel Developer Forum in San Francisco. I'm very excited to have Reuven Cohen on the show. Welcome, Reuven.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited to have a Chip Chat with you.
So, Reuven, you've been on the program once before, and it's been a long time since I saw you. I think it's been almost a week. We saw each other at VMworld. How have you been?
Good. The weather here in San Francisco is a little bit cooler than the 110 that we had in Vegas, but it's nice to see some clouds.
So since I saw you last, I did some reading about you to get ready for our conversation, and I've seen, you know, I saw some articles that talked about the fact that you're the founder and CTO of Anomaly, that you're, you know, a recognized leader on Twitter. I knew those things, but the newest one was Syscon article about your leadership in cloud security. What did you think about that when you saw your names with the big names in government and big names in security software? You were right up there with the highest ones.
Well, it was certainly an honor to be included with such a sort of prestigious list of security folks. You know, it's you know, security is been obviously a very important part in the cloud computing ecosystem, and a lot of what we've done in the cloud security space has been sort of in partnership with Intel and with using things like Intel's TXT and, you know, sort of a hardware-based validation. And in some ways, this is another kind of validation. You know, it really does kind of speak to the fact that we're, I think, doing an interesting sort of implementation of this type of technology.
So you've been in cloud probably longer than most people I know. And you were telling me some stories about the early days of cloud when we were at VMworld in Las Vegas. Why don't you take us back to how you got started in cloud computing and what the environment was like at that point?
You know, it's been definitely an evolution, and I've been sort of promoting the concepts of cloud, you know, personally and professionally for probably now almost 10 years. In terms of Anomaly, the work that we originally started to do in the cloud computing space was really based on the concepts of problems that we were running into. And these problems predominantly were we were building highly scalable websites, but we were finding that the ability to scale these websites easily were actually quite difficult. So, you know, what we basically did is, you know, sort of scratched the itch that we had, and we built some components that allowed us to more effectively utilize the components and capacity in a more real-time fashion by essentially taking a hypervisor and applying a sort of web-accessible API to it. So the first versions of our software were essentially just a hypervisor with an API. Mm-hmm. And what we did is we were able to separate the logical components, be it, let's say, a web app server or a database or a load balancer, and then orchestrate those as individual pieces. So we could take those virtual machines, duplicate them, scale them, and kind of treat them a little bit like a utility. Back in those early days, it was, you know, the concepts of a hypervisor were still very much unknown. And for those that were actually using hypervisors and virtualization technology, the real concept was in the realm of consolidation.
Mm-hmm. You know, sure.
Taking those 100 servers and hoping you'd only need 5. And we really saw it from the opposite point of view. We really saw it from the point of view of rather than consolidating, which in certain scenarios is obviously very important, we saw it from the view of better utilizing all that capacity, you know, to use kind of the Intel sort of approach, you know, doing more with more. It's kind of the approach that you're going to be able to utilize. If you can more effectively access that capacity, you'll effectively use that capacity more efficiently and do more interesting things and be ultimately more successful.
Sure, that makes a perfect sense. Just a reminder to the audience, we are on live, and you can submit questions on Blog Talk Radio or on Twitter at Intel Chip Chat. Please do forward your questions for Reuven. I'm going to go next to the definition of cloud, because out of all of that early work, came a definition of cloud, and you were the person that crafted the definition of cloud for NIST. Is that correct?
Well, I would say I assisted with the team. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a broad collaboration. And it's funny, lately there's been a lot of debate on that very subject, you know, and whether the definition for cloud that NIST has sort of come up with is adequate or representative of what cloud is. And I think that one of the things that you got to think about when looking at that original NIST definition was the purpose of why it was created in the first place. You know, in the early sort of, 2008 or so, there was this, you know, new president-elect, and cloud became sort of a driving mantra for what really needed to change within government IT. Problem was, there wasn't really an effective way to buy this concept of cloud, right? You can't, you know, buy a concept. You need something more tangible than this sort of idea.
Right.
So what we did is basically created this 5-point definition that would allow you to buy something. And it was a set of services, essentially. And I think that for what we needed it for, and again, the procurement of cloud-based services and technology, it fit that perfectly. And obviously, cloud is a metaphor and can be interpreted in a whole lot of different ways. But for our particular needs, it really served us well.
So you said that there's some debate on it today in terms of its relevance and how cloud has evolved. Where is the debate, and where do you think that debate is going?
Well, you know, we're always debating a metaphor, right? It's an analogy wrapped in a metaphor, essentially. So depending on your point of view, it's going to radically change the way you look at cloud computing. For someone whose, you know, point of view is Facebook or you know, using some sort of email system, then they're going to believe that that's the application. But if you're looking at it from a technologist's point of view and looking at the underlying, you know, ability to scale your infrastructure, then you're going to be more infrastructure centric, you know. So again, your point of view really plays into the way you seek the cloud or cloud computing. So again, my general feel for the cloud is it's basically a metaphor for the internet. It's a metaphor for the internet as an operating environment. So now, essentially, rather than using your traditional desktop approach, the app sits on, you know, your hard drive, the app sits somewhere else. And that's, you know, very broadly the way I kind of look at the cloud. And then the computing part is essentially what you do with that.
Right. So ultimately, you know, you said Facebook, a great example of a cloud-based application and something that everybody can relate to. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. 10 years ago, Facebook would have been a desktop app.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. Today, it's a website. And the majority of applications being built today are websites. And essentially, that's the driver for cloud computing. If you're going to build something, it's probably not going to be a desktop app. It may be a mobile app that you install, but the lion's share of the sort of heavy lifting is going to be done somewhere else. It's going to be not done on the device.
Let's fast forward a little bit, and we'll go back to security. Obviously, today, the cloud is evolving, and enterprises are looking at how they can utilize it, both inside their organizations, as well as with service providers, for a richer set of applications. This richer set comes with new challenges, like secure handling of data within a federated environment. Where do you think the boundaries are of the challenge in terms of infrastructure and data center management with this new evolution of applications in the cloud?
Yeah, the big problem that I think we're facing is this sort of globalized approach to resources. In the traditional sense of data centers, they were silos. They sort of sat independently of any other data center. And mm-hmm. now, with the emergence of clouds and sort of hybrid approaches to clouds where you're mixing and matching resources, some may be yours, some may be someone else's, or there might be more than one location for your data center resources. The idea of connecting those together has actually become quite problematic. It's, you know, you're looking at things like latency, mm-hmm. you're looking at things like security, what and how the information is transferred among these various sort of edge-based nodes. And in a lot of ways, the technology is moving faster than the standards and components and best practices. So a lot of times it's a trial and error approach to development of these applications and deployment models. So I think one of the things that we're seeing emerging more recently is sort of more standard, I'm not going to use the word standards, best practices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a growing level of knowledge in the industry and how the best way to do this is, and that's really accelerating some of the sort of adoption patterns.
When you look at the hardware and software industry and, you know, some of your partners, do you think that there is an agreement in the industry about where we need to focus in terms of driving innovation to meet these new challenges? Or are there concerns that certain technologies represent gaps today?
You know, there's a dichotomy in the industry between sort of innovation, which there's plenty of, versus the practicality of business. And when I mean in practicality, I mean making money from this innovation. Just because you build something innovative doesn't necessarily mean anyone's going to buy it. And the phase in the sort of adoption of cloud computing at this point is one where we're sort of moving to the next logical step, one where we've built all this cool stuff, but some of this those cool applications and services are going to fail because they didn't serve a particular need. But what we're also seeing on the flip side is there's actually quite a bit of money that's actually starting to be made. And I think that you'll see sort of the some of these more successful companies sort of emerge in the next few years because of that. I mean, I guess it's money-driven in a lot of ways.
Well, I think transformations drive new opportunities for new entrants into a market. We see that. Obviously, cloud is one of those 1 in 10 to 15 years transformations, so it offers major opportunity for shift. When you look at the industry, do you see kind of an old guard versus new innovator mentality?
Well, there's a server hugger, right? It's I don't want to let go, you know, and that's always the change is hard to do, and technology changes very fast, and like in any industry, there you're going to have a group of people who are you're going to say, you know, this is the way we've always done it, or worse yet, you're going to say, you know, didn't we do that 30 years ago? Mm-hmm. You know, isn't this just, you know, the mainframe reinvented, you know, type of mentality? And I think that's wrong. You know, it's about serving the needs and changes to the technology and the way you look at the technology.
You know, you're here at IDF this week. You know, obviously an event focused on Intel and its ecosystem and driving innovation. What are you expecting to see here at IDF, and what are you hoping to see from the ecosystem in terms of innovation in cloud?
Well, I certainly think Intel sits at an interesting point in the sort of stack. You know, you need an engine. You need that underlying capability to power the various things that we're building. You know, whether if it's like what I'm doing with some of the security stuff around TXT, or just, you know, processors and sort of BIOS-related configurations that allow us to more effectively communicate across a group of machines. So for me, I'm an infrastructure guy. I like to see that underlying stuff. But I think the other thing I like about the IDF is I like to see sort of what's coming in the broader consumer play, you know, mm-hmm. the new cool, you know, mobile gadgets and computer type stuff.
So the 22 nanometer products and the midfield phone from our CEO's keynote must have spiked your interest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, me too. I like that kind of stuff too, even though I work in the data center. And I guess that takes me to my final question before the break, which is there seems to be a proliferation of devices across the world. What kind of scale does this represent to the cloud services that need to be delivered? And as the devices scale, what kind of challenges do we have?
You know, that's not an easy answer to question sort of to answer. But, you know, one of the things that I do see is the need for traditional computing type hardware is changing. Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately what I think is, you know, things like, you know, tablets and mobile phones are going to be the center of your computing experience. And I think that's pretty obvious at this point.
Great. Well, I think that we're going to go to a break. A reminder to the audience to submit their questions online, either via Blog Talk Radio or Twitter at Intel Chip Chat, and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more of Allison's interview. Have a question? Visit us at twitter.com/IntelChipChat. We'll be answering questions live next.
Back live at Intel Chip Chat at the Intel Developer Forum with Reuven Cohen. We've been having a great talk for the last 15 minutes about the history of cloud, We're going to move forward. We did get a question from the audience. If you were a developer looking at the cloud market, how should you assess where to focus your development and looking for the true business opportunities? How would you approach that?
You know, I think language is becoming secondary in a lot of ways. You know, there's been a lot of talk that sort of the platform represents the sort of next evolutionary step in cloud computing. You know, and I think this applies not just to programmers, but more broadly, you know, being a specialist is always better than being a generalist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finding an area of expertise that drives you, you know, both professionally and personally from a passion point of view, you'll also be more successful. You know, if you're into something, you're going to do better at it. The idea, you know, some of the areas that I think are particularly interesting for me are things around the economics of cloud and being able to sort of look at things like energy, to look at things like what the economic impact of deploying an application is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in a lot of ways that area of cloud is underserved at this point. There's this sort of idea that I'm going to deploy to the cloud and it's magically going to be more cost efficient with no real quantitative information or data to back up that sort of, you know, thesis. So I think the opportunities are going to be, you know, looking at that as well. Also, obviously, security-related activities are always going to be hot.
Mm-hmm. When you mentioned something about, you know, the language barrier is not there, you've driven something around the world talking about, you know, diverse engagement called Cloud Camps, events that focus developers and develop opportunities for collaboration and discussion around cloud computing. Can you talk a little bit about where that concept came from and what that is today?
So Cloud Camp is one of those interesting sort of animals that kind of grew out of this idea that a few of us had. And initially it was really just a reason for a few Twitter friends to get together, have a few drinks, and talk about cloud. And the first one was held in June of 2008. And again, it was not intended to be anything more than just a bit of a get-together. But what was interesting is the fact that it kind of was organic. It was viral in that suddenly people were kind of putting these cloud camps together in other locations. The first one we held was actually here in San Francisco. So I think about 2 weeks later, there was one in London, and then there was one in New York, and then there was one in Tokyo. And
mm-hmm.
And fast forward, you know, three years now, and we've had them, I think, every major continent. We've had them in, I think, something like 150 cities. And the real underlying driving factor is to answer, you know, some of the, you know, the problems, you know. Why do I need cloud computing? What's it doing for me? What are the opportunities and what are the drawbacks in a sort of unconference, sort of casual style? And it's in a lot of ways the opposite of what you'd see in a traditional conference, which I think people like. And it's a place, again, ultimately that you can have a beer and just be yourself and not worry about being the expert.
I think that this is a great example of a broader trend with the cloud industry of open sharing of ideas. Open source software is playing a major role in cloud. The move by Facebook to open up their data center specifications in an open fashion with the Open Compute Project. Why do you think open standards and sharing of information is so critical at this stage of the data center?
Well, the old approach to standards was, you know, basically a group of old graybeards getting together and deciding what the next evolution was going to be. And that's not the way tech works. The technology is driven by interesting, innovative, new ideas, from, you know, more from the bottom up. And I think open standards, open source, and you know, approach to it really drives that, because it's about getting things done and getting things done efficiently that actually solve real world problems, not just a bunch of old guys deciding that this is how we should do something.
I think I've been to some of those meetings before, the old guys getting around to talk about how the world is going to work. You know, you talk about that, and it came up in my mind when you were talking about how to measure an application, both from a standpoint of cost and from a standpoint of energy. Have you been following the Open Data Center Alliance at all and their usage model requirements that they've been documenting? Because they did document a requirement for standard units of measure, and I'm wondering if that segues into your thought process of what's needed there.
Well, I think what they're doing is definitely in the right track. I'd like to see something a little more tangible in terms of, it's almost a compute unit that would actually quantify the computational efficiency of the resources that are being used. And that's a big problem that we're facing. There is no real way to do an apples-to-apples comparison of resources, cloud-based resources, across more than one provider.
Mm-hmm.
There is no sort of gigahertz rating or whatever you want to call it. So anything that actually helps define that sort of ability to do a real-world comparison is ultimately going to be valuable.
So, you know, that begs the question, because the Alliance, the Open Data Center Alliance, specifies requirements. So who's going to step up and specify the standards? Are we looking at a spec organization to do something like that for us, or is there a new approach that needs to be taken?
Well, there are a number of traditional spec sort of groups that are trying to do that, but they typically use sort of the old mentality of, MIPS and sort of, cycles, and that doesn't necessarily address getting something done.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, I think if there is going to be a standard or an approach, it's going to be based on the concepts of how efficiently I can get my particular job done. And that's probably not going to be, a traditional sort of CPU-centric idea.
Mm-hmm. When you look at cloud evolution moving forward, at VMworld, where both of us were, there was a lot of talk about big data and data analytics in the cloud. This kind of extends the concept of application diversity in the cloud and what the cloud is affecting in terms of the types of opportunities for data manipulation and insight. What do you hear from folks in the industry and customers about their interest in this space? And what are the technical challenges that you see to getting to real-time, low-latency insight from cloud?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, because that analogy actually works quite well. I think the big data term might be a little bit misleading, but it ultimately is going to be the most successful companies are going to be the ones that are most efficient in the transformation of sort of useless data into meaningful information. And what that really means is those who are doing that most effectively in the least amount of time are going to have the advantage. You know, if you look at sort of, let's say, the search engine space, why did the predecessors essentially fail where a new upstart sort of became the sort of dominant player? I think the answer is that sort of dominant player was able to more efficiently utilize computational resources than the sort of previous iterations of the search engines that existed beforehand. And that's just one example. And you take that and apply that to a more, structured corporation who also have similar sort of demands around information and, that transformation of data into usable real-time information. And they're going to be – that's what's going to make them successful, I think, and doing that more efficiently than their competitor can.
If you look out another 3 years – what do you think we would be talking about then in terms of the cloud? Would we be still talking about hybrid enterprise federated? Are we going to be past that? And how will the sociological views shift in terms of managing IT and managing data?
Well, your comment on the sociology is interesting, because, even 3 years ago, I mentioned cloud computing and I get a blank stare to, the average sort of person on the street. Now, I'm always astounded when I'm at a party or something and I tell someone, they ask me what I do and I'm involved in cloud computing, and they actually know what it is and actually have a decent concept and grasp of it. That alone right now is actually quite amazing to me, to see that in such a short period of time, the concepts of cloud computing sort of propagate well beyond just the sort of IT folks that sort of initially embraced it. So where are we going? I think, where we're going is a place where there's actually, a solid economic business model around cloud computing, more than just a bunch of venture capital, funded companies, actually self-sustaining companies that are hopefully going public, that actually create an ecosystem. And right now, we're just seeing the sort of initial phases of that. Like, one of the big questions that I would have is, why aren't there more cloud computing companies going public?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. When it comes to the infrastructure, I'm going to take it down, since you did say you're an infrastructure guy. What are the things that you think are you going to see in a data center that you don't see today?
I think there's probably going to be, more innovation on things like the interconnects. You know, if you look at things like Intel's dealing with their, VT and VTD and various flavors of that. It's going to be about looking at it from a broader point of view. I also think that the ability to measure the power and energy-based impact of deploying applications is going to become much more, of a focal point.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, it's been very difficult to get that information off the CPU, but with some of the, I think it's called node manager-related activities, it's going to be much easier to gain that sort of additional insight.
You don't forget VMDQ. We really have a good way of naming technologies at Intel. They all have a series of letters, apparently. Node Manager got its own name, though, so that's good. Reuben, it was a pleasure having you on the program. One final question. Anomaly. When you started Anomaly, did you have any concept that the cloud would become so large? And where do you think a service provider like Anomaly, software developer like Anomaly, has a role moving forward?
To your first question, I spent so much time trying to convince the world that it was a valid idea. I sort of missed the shift in a lot of ways. One day I woke up and realized that cloud was now, a common concept. I'm still trying to get my head around that, let alone sort of where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Where does Anomaly fit into the picture? I think that we enjoy being an innovator. We enjoy creating new things, trying to do things that have never been done before, whether it's Spot Cloud or ECP 7 years ago. I enjoy the concepts of trying to push the limits. I don't want to be in a position where I have to follow the herd. And, that comes with its own challenges, but that's where I want to be. I want to be driving the next thing, even if it's before its time or ahead of its time, or whatever the place we are.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program, Reuben. It's always a pleasure. For the 6 people that aren't following you on Twitter, where can they find you?
I'm at RUV. I like to tweet. Some say I tweet a little bit too much, but Allison, thank you for having me today.
Great. Thanks very much.